My laws are just, my ways are right. They're all you need to fight the fight. Tear down the walls of Babylon and pay her back. She caused your need, war she made you lack.
Welcome to the Remnant Reading Room, featuring the book entitled Come Out of Her, My People, by C.J. Custer. This book was a major step in my walk of finding the true worship, the way our Father wants us to not only worship, but to live, and to exalt His name among the nations. Join us as we embark on this walk together to find truth and freedom from idolatrous ways. If you would like a copy of the scriptures included in today's program, you can find the download link by clicking on today's program in the station schedule at zion.org. That's spelled TSION.ORG. And now, let's begin today's reading.
What have you sown? But seeds of doubt, I hear your cries and shut them out. Tear down the walls of Babylon and let her sink, washing in my word and rid you of the stain.
Today, we will continue with Chapter 2, entitled, Which Components of the Worship of the Son and the Host of Heaven Have Been Adopted? And we will cover the rest of the chapter, starting on page 80 and finishing up on page 88. And we'll be inserting the scriptures referenced there. You may find the scriptures by clicking on the Downloadable Study Aids tab for the current program on the schedule at Zion Road Radio. Kingdom Outpost, consider this study for your people. I'm going to read the last paragraph of the previous section, just so we get an idea of where we finished up before. Those who are dedicated, please note, calling on the name of Yahweh causes him to send his spirit, this set-apart spirit, the spirit of truth, the spirit that washes away the filth of the daughters of Zion. Isaiah 4:4. Isaiah 4:4 reads, When Yahweh has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and rinsed away the blood of Jerusalem from her midst, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Our Messiah has begun to set apart and to cleanse his assembly with the washing of water by the word. Ephesians 5:26. In order to set it apart and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, is the way that scripture reads. Even cleansing his assembly from these names of pagan idols, Kirke, Church, Hades, Charis, Grace, and Byblis, B-I-B-L-I-S, or Byblis, B-Y-B-L-I-S, or Bible, B-Y-B-L-E. Yahweh has said in Zechariah 13:2, I will cut off the names of the idols from the land. That verse, Zechariah 13:2, says, And it shall be in that day, declares Yahweh of hosts, that I cut off the names of the idols from the earth, and they shall be remembered no more. And I shall also remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the earth. Now we'll start with number 24, Luck, capital L-U-C-K. Before we proceed to this luck as a word, we would like to emphasize the fact that the idea of luck in itself is totally unscriptural. Just like fortune, this was the reprimand of Isaiah 65:11, namely that good luck and fortune are being relied on instead of us relying on Yahweh. Let's read Isaiah 65:11. But you are those who forsake Yahweh, who forget my set-apart mountain, who prepare a table for Gad, and who fill a drink offering for many, M-E-N-I, the name of a goddess. We should be entirely dependent on His blessings, which we can only receive from Him if we live a life dedicated to Him and in obedience to His word, His Son. The word luck, derived from a name for the sun deity, is not found as such in the older English translations of the scriptures, but the words lucky and unlucky appear 7 times in the Good News Bible. However, it is most frequently used in our everyday language. In the German, Netherlands, and Afrikaans versions, the word is indeed used as gluck, spelled G-L-U-C-K, or gluck, spelled G-E-L-U-K. The latter, and probably the former too, being a word derived from the original form, luck, L-U-K. This fact can be verified in Wutenbuch der Nederlandische Teil, Volume 8, Part 2, pages 3304 to 3306. We read here that Luck was originally a vox media, a spiritualist medium. Also that Luck was also written Luck, L-U-C-K, Luck, L-U-C, Lucky, L-U-C-K-E, Lok, L-O-K, Lock, L-O-C-K. Pages 3304 and 3306. On page 3305, it states that Luck, L-U-K, was also the name of a personified goddess of luck, L-U-C-K. In the Oxford English Dictionary, Volume 6, pages 486, we read that the ultimate etymology of luck, or Middle High Dutch Gluck, or Middle High German Glück, is obscure. Walsh, a concise German etymological dictionary, under Gluck, G-L-U-C-K, also states that the origin of this word is obscure. So, once again, quote, the god of this world, unquote, Satan, has blinded the eyes and has deceived the whole world. The god of this world is found in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Let's read that. In whom the mighty one of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that the enlightening of the good news of the esteem of Messiah, who is the likeness of Elohim, does not shine on them. Finally, has deceived the whole world is found in Revelation 12:9. And let's read that one. And the great dragon was thrown out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who leads all the world astray. He was thrown to the earth, and his messengers were thrown out with him. The prince of darkness has seen to it that his evil work has been hidden, made obscure. The common everyday saying, one for luck, is most probably just a continuation of the old pagan Nordic expression, quote, one for God and one for Woden, or Wodan, and one for look, L-O-K, end quote. Of which we read of in Carl Hamm, Allgemeinheit, Religiosität, page 265. Please remember that the above quoted Netherlands dictionary stated that luck, L-U-C-K, Luke, L-U-K, and Loke, L-O-K, are just different spellings of the same word. Forlong, Encyclopedia of Religions, Volume 2, page 463, says that Luke, L-U-K, is an ancient root for light and related to Loki. In Gray's Mythology of All Races, Volume 9, page 253, we read, quote, Luke, the highest deity, as he was known in the Caroline Islands, unquote. Job's Dictionary of Mythology, Folklore, and Symbols, on page 1024, states that Luke was the highest or primordial deity of the Caroline Islands. On the same page, we read of, quote, Lug, L-U-G, the sun deity himself, unquote, and again of, quote, Lugus, L-U-G-U-S, a Gaelic sun deity, unquote. Jacob Grimm, Teutonic Mythology, reveals more of the obscure origin of this mysterious deity. The names Logi, L-O-G-I, and Loki, L-O-K-I, were merged in times of old. He further points out that the apparent roots for these names to be Lucer, L-U-C-E-R-E, and Lucen, L-U-K-E-N. He also reveals that Lok, L-O-C-K-E, was the Danish for the burning sun, and that Jutland's Loki, L-O-K-K-E, was the heat of the sun, and that, quote, Loki, L-O-K-I, is by turns taken for sun, fire, giant, or devil, unquote. Luka, L-U-K-A, was also known as the fire deity, as we read on page 242. Jacob Grimm, on page 82, volume 1 of his Deutsche Mythologie, says that Loki, L-O-K-K-I, could be taken as an abbreviation of Lucifer. Scholars normally regard a fire deity to be the same as a sun deity. What does the word Lucifer basically mean? All dictionaries tell us that it means Luke, L-U-C, or Lu-C, L-U-C-I, plus F-E-R, or F-E-R-R-E. That means light bringer. According to some mythologists, Lucifer was the son of Zeus, sky deity, and Eos, a dawn deity. In the King James Version, we read only once of Lucifer, and that is in Isaiah 14:12, where the king of Babylon is called Lucifer. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? That's from the King James Version. The Scriptures Version, however, reads, How you have fallen from the heavens, O Hallel, son of the morning. You have been cut down to the ground, you who laid low the Gentiles, from the Scriptures. This was taken over from the Latin Vulgate, and many scholars prefer to use other words which more correctly translate the Hebrew Hillel, pronounced Hillel, H-A-I-L-A-I-L, or Hillel, H-E-I-L-E-I-L. This word basically means the shining one or the bright one. Apart from the interpretation of this king of Babylon as being Lucifer, we find some calling him Morning Star. Others, with good documented evidence, believe that Hillel, H-E-I-L-E-I-L, is Jupiter, the sky deity, which later became the sun deity, also called Marduk Jupiter. Marduk being the well-known Babylonian sun deity. J.W. McKay made a thorough study of this Hillel in his article, Hillel and the Dawn Goddess, in Vetus Testamentum, XX, 1970, pages 451 to 464. And he also mentions the strong evidence for Hillel being the sun deity or being Jupiter. According to Isaiah 14:12, Hillel is the son of dawn or daybreak. Most pagan nations have the myth of the female dawn deity giving birth to her son, the sun deity. Thus, this scripture reveals to us that the king of Babylon is indeed the shining one, the sun, or Jupiter. We must remember that the deities of Babylon were made kings, and also their kings were named after their deities, who were, in almost all cases, sun deities. We must not be misled by any man-made interpretation of Isaiah 14. The emphasis is on the king of Babylon and not on Satan. The deified sun may be a symbol of or even an adopted guise of Satan. It could be that Satan used the sun to catch the masses with and to detract Yahweh's people from their creator, the one who is to be worshipped, the one who created the sun. The sun is to be regarded only as part of the creation and nothing more, and certainly not to be worshipped. Identifying Lucifer with Satan is an idea that came later. Let us first see what and who this Hillel of Isaiah 14:12 is. In verse 4, he is called the king of Babylon. Isaiah 14:4, that you shall take up this proverb against the sovereign of Babylon and say, how the oppressor has ceased, the gold gatherer ceased. That was Isaiah 14:4 from the scriptures. This shining one, Hillel, is the one who has said in his heart, quote, I will descend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of Elohim. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. I will be like the Most High. Unquote. Many commentators have acknowledged this passage to be future, at the time of its writing, and not past history. This passage is strikingly similar to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the passage known as the Great Apostasy, or the revelation of the mystery of lawlessness, the man of lawlessness sitting in the temple who has taken the place of Elohim. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2. Starting in verse 3, let no one deceive you in any way, because the falling away is to come first, and the man of lawlessness is to be revealed, the son of destruction. And verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as Elohim in the dwelling place of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. In Isaiah 14, he is identified as the Shining One, Hillel, also called Light Bringer, or Lucifer. This is clear scriptural evidence that the sun deity or sky deity, Hillel, the Shining One, has taken the place of the true Mighty One, or has planned to do so. This is further confirmation of Hail, H-E-I-L, Holy One, or that which is holy, of the German, Dutch, and Africanus translations, being the sun deity or sky deity, as we have previously discussed. Just like the Hebrew Hillel, H-E-L-E-L, we also found the Greek word Heli, H-E-I-L-E, for sun ray or sunlight, as we previously saw and discussed. The king of Babylon, the Shining One, the Lawless One, has planned, or is indeed sitting, on the throne where Yahushua ought to be sitting. This is the message of both Isaiah 14 and 2 Thessalonians 2, as well as the authoritative prophetic message of Yahushua in Matthew 24:15, where he warns us that in the end time it will be found that, quote, the abomination of desolation, unquote, has been set up in the set apart place, the temple, spiritually or literally. Let's see what Matthew 24 says. Matthew 24:15. So when you see the abomination that lays waste, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, set up in the set apart place, he who reads, let him understand. This abomination of desolation is generally accepted as Zeus, the sky or sun deity. We should therefore repent of the idea of depending on luck, of wishing one another good luck, the God of Isaiah 65:11, and should rather speak of the blessing and seek the blessing of Yahweh. Also, the revealed evidence of the sun or sky deity being the origin of this word, of Luke, L-U-K, Loke, L-O-K, Luck, L-U-C-K, Lug, L-U-G, Loki, L-O-K-I, and Lucifer, L-U-C-I-F-E-R, should inspire us to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. John 4:23-24. Let's read those verses. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father also does seek such to worship him. John 4:24. Elohim is spirit, and those who worship him need to worship in spirit and truth. We should also be alerted to the scriptural revelation of Hillel, the Shining One, being the king of Babylon, and rather seek to serve the king of the Jews, the title which was given to our Messiah, and which is found no less than 23 times in scripture. We're moving now to the next section, number 25, and it is entitled Kurios, K U R-I-O-S. It is well documented that the name, in the form of Hebrew letters, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, was carefully copied over and retained in the early copies, pre-Christian copies, of Greek translations of the Hebrew scriptures. Detailed evidence of this fact is found in Ruth M. Metzger, Manuscripts of the Greek Bible, pages 33 through 35, and in Professor George Howard, The Tetragram and the New Testament in Journal of Biblical Literature, 96/1, 1977, pages 63 through 83. Later on, as copies were repeatedly made, the name became substituted with the Greek word kurios. Professor Howard believes that as Gentile Christians took over from Jewish Christians from the 2nd century onwards, the surrogate kurios crowded out the tetragrammaton in the New Testament too, as was the case with the Greek translations of the Old Testament. So the proper personal name of the Most High, namely Yahweh, became substituted with a title, kurios, an apparently innocent title, as all believe. However, the Spirit of Truth led us to search for the origin of this word, kurios. We discover that this title, kurios, was also a proper name, or else derived from a proper name. W. Pape, Grinchus Duchess, Hudwortenbuch, says the kurios was also known as kuros, K-U-R-O-S. Pape and Benzler, Gritsche, Egenaimen, under kuros, K-U-R-O-S, repeats this fact, as some other dictionaries also do, namely that kuros is the same as kurios. Note, kuros is not a title but a name, a proper name for the German Eigennamen, means proper names. On page 747 of this authoritative reference book, we read that kuros, K-U-R-O-S, is the Persian for sun. On the same page, we read that kuromedion equals sonatal equals sun valley. We also read that kuropolis equals sonaberg equals sun citadel or sun city. On page 746, we also read that Curis, K-U-R-I-S, was a name for Adonis, the sun deity. Seems we always get back to that, huh? J.G.R. Forlong, Encyclopedia of Religions, confirms our findings. In volume 2, page 425, we read that Kur, K-U-R, is the old Persian name for the sun. We discovered that Kur can also be traced back to Babylon. In S.I. Dimmel, Pantheon Babylonicum, page 157, we read that Kur, K-U-R, was another name for Nabu, N-A-B-U, the sun deity. But the most obvious proof is perhaps the following. The Greeks had a name for the sun deity, namely Mercurios, which is Mercurius in Latin and Mercury in English. By substituting the name of our father with the name for the sun, we shockingly realize how our mighty one became solarized. The efforts of those sun-worshipping Gentile nations with their syncretism, that is to identify all the mighty ones with the sun deity, once again succeeded. Our ancient Gentile ancestors called on the sun, and after being evangelized, they simply kept calling on the sun, S-U-N, as they were taught, instead of calling on the name of Yahweh. The next section, number 26, is called Dominus, D-O-M-I-N-U-S. In the Greek translation of the scriptures, the name of Yahweh was substituted with Kyrios. In the same way, in the Latin Vulgate, the name was substituted with the word Dominus. That is spelled D-O-M-I-N-U-S. This word is generally accepted and has been so for many centuries as being only a title, meaning master. However, what is the origin of this word? What does it mean? Is it not a wolf in sheep's clothing again? The diversity of the present-day words that all derive from the ancient Indo-Germanic root DM, DEM, or DAM made the research into this particular word extremely difficult, but most challenging. However, as we persevered in prayer, a clear picture emerged. Dominus was also written as Domnus, D-O-M-N-U-S. Also, the way in which the Romans understood the two words Domus, D-O-M-U-S, and Dominus, D-O-M-I-N-U-S, makes it difficult for researchers. Emil Benevestis wrote, quote, "For us, Domus and Dominus are different words, but the Romans felt them as closely linked," unquote. That was from Indo-European Language and Society, page 245. According to Thesaurus Lingua Latinae, the words Dominus, Domus, and Dom are used as synonyms. On page 1910 of this most scholarly work, we read that Domus was used as a synonym for Jupiter. Therefore, if many dictionaries suggest that Dominus means the mind of Domus, or the nous, N-U-S, of Domus. Nous was one of the Gnostic Valentinian aeons. That's a personification of logic or reason. Then one might interpret Dominus as the mind of Jupiter, or the nous, N-U-S, of Jupiter. So, Domos, D-O-M-U-S, and Dominus, its synonym, according to the above-mentioned thesaurus, was a name for Jupiter. We also find proof that Domnus was the name, not the title, of a pagan god, his full name being Domnus Fides. See W. H. Groscher's Auferlitsch Lexikon der Grundzeichen und Romanes Mythologie, Volume 1, page 1198. Do not forget that Dominus is the same as Domnus, as already mentioned. The feminine counterpart of Dominus, namely Domine, was most specifically a name, being another name for Cybele, the great mother female deity. Varro wrote, quote, Domina was chiefly a name of the mother goddess Cybele, unquote. W. A. Rauscher's Lexicon, same page as above, page 1198. See also Pauli Wisowa under Domina, D-O-M-I-N-A. This name was also used as a title for sensual goddesses or nymphs, notably among the Gaelic and Spanish tribes, same page, and also for the well-known sensual goddesses Venus, Juno, Isis, Diana, and also for the goddess Roma. See Lexicon Otius Latinatus under Domina and W. H. Rosser's Lexicon. Although Dominus and Domina were used at times as titles in an innocent way, the fact remains that they were also used in an improper way. Dominus and Domina were used in the 1st century BCE and in the 1st CE by the well-known writers and poets Martial, Virgil, Petronius, and Catullus to describe extramarital partners. A. P. Pyrrhicus, Glossarius Eroticum Lingua Latina, pages 184 through 185. However, let us search farther back into the origin of this word. The well-known Latin dictionary of Lewis and Short traces it back to the Sanskrit daemonas, D-A-M-A-N-A-S, with the root being dame, D-A-M. This is confirmed by all authorities. See H. Brisk, Brentius's Etymologist, Wuchtenbach, Volume 3, page 76, Dr. A. Waldy, Latinisch, Etymologies, Wuchtenbach, 2nd edition, under Dominus, A. Ernaut E. A. Millet, Dictionnaire Etymodica de la Lingua Latine, under Domus, Julius Porconi, Indomanticus Etymologicus Wuchtenbuch, Volume 1, page 198 through 199. M. Mayrofer, A Concise Etymological Sanskrit Dictionary, under Damuna, D-A-M-U-N-A-H. Liddell and Scott, Greek English Lexicon, 7th edition, under Dam, D-A-M. Emil Ben Bestitz, Indo-European Language and Society, pages 240 through 251. Most of these dictionaries trace the word back to the Sanskrit word damunas, D-A-M-U-N-A-S, but others spell it demunas, D-E-M-U-N-A-S. Was this dominus, D-A-M-U-N-A-S, or demunas, D-E-M-U-N-A-S, the name of a deity in ancient times? Yes, it was the name of the sun deity Agni. And it also was the name of the planetary deity Venus, alias Sukra. M. Monair Williams, Sanskrit English Dictionary, Volume 2, page 802, says that Dominus was a name of Sukra, alias Venus, the morning star, which was a male deity. By the way, do read Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, in the newer English translations. All right, let's do that right now. Isaiah 14:12. How have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn? You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. 14:13. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. Isaiah 14:14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. That was from the New American Standard Bible. And just to make it interesting, let's read that from the scriptures. Isaiah 14:12. How have you fallen from the heavens, O Hillel, son of the morning? You've been cut down to the ground, you who laid low the Gentiles. 14:13. For you have said in your heart, let me go up to the heavens. Let me raise my throne above the stars of El, and let me sit in the mount of meeting on the sides of the north. Isaiah 14:14. Let me go above the heights of the clouds. Let me be like the Most High. Again, that was from the scriptures. There is also evidence that Sucre was identified with Agni rather than with Venus. C.J. Dawson, A Classical Dictionary of Hindu Mythology, page 402. However, both Agni and Venus are sky deities, and both of them have a central meaning too. Thus, the origin of Dominus, according to all the relevant authorities on etymology, traces back to Damunus, D-A-M-U-N-A-S, the Sanskrit sun deity or Venus deity. We further find that it can also be traced back to Babylon. Antonius de Mille, S.I., Pantheon Babylonicum, page 100, says that Damunu was another name for Ishtar. In Babylonian mythology, Ishtar, alias Venus, was a male deity in the form of a morning star, and then a female in the evening as the evening star. Of course, Damu, D-A-M-U, was another name for Tammuz. A. Ungard, De Religion der Babylonier en Assyrier, page 231, see also Mythology of All Races, Volume 5, page 347. As already stated, many dictionaries suggest that Dominus means master of Domus, D-O-M-U-S, and explain that Domus is the Latin for house, Greek Domos. In India and among the Slavs, this master was regarded as a spirit or demon, or deity of the house. Domus is generally accepted to mean house. However, we find that French dictionaries and French authorities stress the fact that in a religious sense, domus, dome, D-O-M-E in French, preeminently had the meaning of the sky, the vault of heaven. Because of this, we find many temples, tombs, and other constructions in many countries having a cosmic dome as its main feature. Chevalier and Gerbrandt, Dictionnaire des Symboles, under dome, says, the dome, it is clear, universally represents the vault of heaven. Unquote. G. Jobes, Dictionary of Mythology, Folklore, and Symbols, says that dome, D-O-M-E, symbolizes the heavens or the resplendent sun. The Muslims used it extensively, for example, the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. The Buddhist religion places much emphasis on it, and we do remember the great influence that Buddhism had on the Manichaean Gnostic sect, which again had a big influence on the doctrines of the church. The central opening in these domes symbolizes the sun, essentially being the eye of the heavens. The exit from this world, the escape into eternal bliss. According to Chevalier and Gribrant, this central opening in the dome was known as the Ascension following Agni. Remember, Agni was the sun deity, the deity of fire, literal and figurative fire, who was also known as Demunas, D-E-M-U-N-A-S, the origin of the word Dominus. We are therefore not surprised to learn, especially in the French dictionaries, that the Pantheon in Rome, just like its copy in Paris, was also known as the Dome. This dome-shaped Pantheon in Rome was Christianized by the Roman Catholics in the year 609 CE, and used as a church until 1885 CE. Nevertheless, it had its origin as a pagan temple, having first been built in 27 BCE by Agrippa and dedicated to Jupiter, who was also known as Domus, as we have already seen. Others believe that this temple was dedicated to the seven planetary gods, which typifies Babylonian astrology, of course. Others say it was dedicated to Kybele, K-Y-B-E-L-E, alias Domina. William L. MacDonald, The Pantheon, page 89, says, quote, "What seems more certain is that the dome was intended as a symbol of the heavens, the abode of the gods, ruled over by Zeus, Jupiter, the sky god. His place was the void seen through the oculus, the central opening." We're therefore not surprised to read that in the very ancient days, Domina was a name for the sky. Dirugiar, Dictionaria Hippographica di Antiquita, Romaine, page 1956. Further proof comes from Meyer Lübke, Romanisches Etymologisches Buchbuch, page 246, number 2745.2, which states that Domus, D-O-M-U-S, and Domo, D-O-M-O, also relate to the sky, space, or cosmic. Keith, Mythology of All Races, volume 6, page 233, says that in Hinduism, we read of the myth of Dom, capital D-O-M, devouring the sun and the moon. F.H. Kramer, Astrology in Roman Law and Politics, page 25, tells us how the word Dominus was used in Roman astrology. The planet who ruled the zodiacal phase was called Dominus. Such, then, is the pagan sky-worshipping zodiacal origin of the word Dominus. And in those early centuries, the sky and sun-worshipping Roman pagans felt at home when our Heavenly Father was now called Dominus. But also the centrally minded were attracted and appeased with this word, which also has a central meaning. In the aforementioned glossarium, we read that the word Dominam, D-O-M-I-N-A-M, was used for the male member. This sensual meaning still exists to this day in the form of the word condom with dom, D-O-M. Also in the German word damrisk and the Sanskrit and Hebrew dempati, D-E-M-P-A-T-I. In the letter word, the very original meaning of the ancient root dim has survived, namely, to join together. See J. Forconi's dictionary. But even more disturbing is the following. All authorities emphatically state that the origin of the word demon, Greek daimon, D-A-I-M-O-N, is unknown. However, the resemblance with demonus is so obvious that it causes us to ask the question, do dominus and demon not originally derive from the same word, namely demonus, D-E-M-U-N-A-S? Many centuries ago, people spoke of good demons and of bad demons. Because of this, Jewish and Christian leaders decided to limit the word demon only to the evil sense, to regard demon as being the equivalent of the evil ones. However, the ancient and authoritative lexicon of Hesychios said that daimon, D-A-I-M-O-N, demon, means theos, or God, and even spelt it with a capital letter. See Hesychi, Alexandrine Lexicon, edited by Kurt Latte, under daimon, D-A-I-M-O-N. This fact is accepted and repeated by leading authorities E.J. Liddell and Scott. Chantepie de la Seisus, Librum de Religionis Gitiet, repeats this alarming fact in three places. As we read the most disturbing prophecy in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, about the king of Babylon, Hillel, the Shining One, in the light of what has been revealed to us, our faith is tremendously enhanced. This passage in Isaiah 12 through 14 encourages us in no small way. Isaiah 12 through 14. Once again. How have you fallen from heavens, O Hillel, son of the morning? You've been cut down to the ground, you who laid low the Gentiles. 14:13. For you have said in your heart, let me go up to the heavens. Let me raise my throne above the stars of El. Let me sit in the mount of meeting on the sides of the north. And 14:14. Let me go up above the heights of the clouds. Let me be like the Most High. That's the Scripture's version. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. 2 Peter 1:19, King James Version, is so wonderfully true. Let's read that verse. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart. That is from the King James Version. There's also one for the Scriptures. 2 Peter 1:19. And we have the prophetic word made more certain, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, till the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. The Scriptures. Indeed, it encourages us to come out of the pagan, zodiacal, names, doctrines, and practices that were accepted by Rome, the second Babylon. Come out of her, my people. Revelation 18:4. And that full verse is, "And I heard another voice from the heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues." And that, my dear friends, is the end, finally, of chapter 2. It's a very long chapter. We will continue here with chapter 3 on page 89, entitled, "The Word of Yahweh Warns Against Baal and Against Babylon." Take a look at the schedule on Zion Road radio station to see when that session will be available. Be sure to join us learning more about why our Elohim tells us to come out of her, my people. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to download your copy of the scriptures from today's lesson. If you want to share this information with others, please feel free to do so. Your questions or comments are welcome. Email me at Shelia, Shelia, at Zion, Zion.org. Shalom!
You have bought insurance in the fear of losing it all. Come on and lose it all, unless you give it.
That's the end of today's reading. Be sure to join us next time as we continue reading more from Come Out of Her, My People. To see when the next program will air, go to the schedule on our website at zion.org. A copy of the scriptures we read today can be found by clicking on today's program in the station schedule on our website. To check the schedule and download a copy of the scriptures included in each program, go to tsion.org. Be sure to join us next time for more about why our Elohim tells us to come out of her, my people. Thanks for listening to today's program.
The restoration of the remnant of Israel is one of the most undertaught, neglected, and unknown major events in Bible prophecy. A strange fact, since prophecies and references to this event can be found all throughout almost every major book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Now, Yahweh has raised up Zion Ministry to teach his remnant nation of Israel everything they need to know about this often neglected truth in his perfect timing. To learn who the remnant of Israel is, what the Zion mission is, and why we teach the things we do, go to our website at zion.org and click on Remnant Vision in the menu bar. That's tsion.org.